like Tammy to do a reading for me this morning, and the reading is Isaiah 6 verses 1 to 8. So Tammy, if you would like to do that for me this morning, that would be really good. Thank you.
Just giving everyone a sec to get the pages. I can see everyone flicking. Right, you're more or less there? Cool. Okay. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and whom shall go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Here I am, send me, come on. Let's just pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for visions and dreams. We thank you, Lord, that your word is sure. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, that you have set a plumb line in our lives, God, with your word. We thank you, Lord, that when things seem hard, Father, that we can realign with truth. So just want each of you this morning just to lay down the things of the week and just come and just step in to that place of his presence. To set your focus on the Lord this morning. Take time just in this next moment just to ask him to speak to you this morning, to speak to your heart this morning, that his word would bring life to you. Lord, we just declare your word will run swiftly. We declare, Lord, that your word will accomplish all that you are sending it forth to do. We thank you that your word, Lord, is above everything. Amen. So this is kind of my first week back after losing my mom. It's been a really hard time. Emotionally, it's been a really hard time just trying to figure out what life is like now without her here all the time, without having to watch out for her and take care of her. I still have times when I get really, really emotional, like yesterday when I was praying and asking the Lord what he wanted to speak on. I said to him, "So Lord, in Isaiah 61, you said that you would give us the oil of joy for mourning. And I need the oil of joy. I really desperately need the oil of joy because I just feel this awful hole inside my life right now. And I just feel this awful weight of loss inside my life right now." And I said, "So I'm ready. I'm ready for the oil of joy to come and fill me and flood me." And, you know, sometimes God doesn't do things the way you expect him to do it. And I started to weep. And I started to weep out loud. And I started to cry. And it was like uncontrollable. I felt like there was this river that was like like had exploded its banks and was just pouring out all through the room that I was in. Poor Andy came in and he was like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "I miss my mom." And it was just this release of sadness, you know. And sometimes we have to be able to let go of something before we can be filled with something. And I think, you know, what the Lord was doing was he was helping me unplug something yesterday. He'll probably unplug it loads more times, but yesterday was a big one. And he like pulled the plug and it was just all this pain came out and all the things of I should have and I shouldn't have and what ifs all came pouring out. And it's like until we empty something, we can't fill it with something else. And I really feel that for you guys this morning. I feel it's a word for you this morning that if you're asking God for something, if you're asking him to fill you with something, maybe he's needing to unplug something and empty something. Maybe there's something that you need to be able to hand over to him that you've been carrying or that's lying deep inside you that you don't know what to do with it. And it's like the Lord is saying, I want to come and take the plug off that thing. And it mightn't look like joy. It mightn't look like happiness initially, but until I get that stuff out, I can't put something in. So I feel like the Lord is saying to you today that he has things he wants to pour into your life. And there's things that you're asking the Lord for that there's almost the condition of surrender for you to be able to receive that. There's the condition of, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you. No matter how messy it looks, no matter how hard it seems, I am going to hand this over to you right now. And I'm going to wait for the joy to come. I'm going to wait for that divine exchange to come and fill me with expectation and with hope. And so when that happened to me yesterday, I was sitting just in God's presence with worship on afterwards, recovering. And this song came on, "When I feel like I'm surrounded by you. When I feel like I'm surrounded by you." And all of a sudden, the Lord took me into this place where there was like this portal that opened up in our bedroom, right around the whole expanse of the room, the whole ceiling was like open, and I saw this crowd of people all standing around the edge, like looking into the bedroom. And as the song was saying, you know, when I feel like I'm surrounded by you. And they were going, "We're surrounding you. We're surrounding you. We're surrounding you." And then behind them were all like the angels, and they were worshiping the Lord, and they were coming over and they were singing, "We're surrounding you. We're surrounding you." And then I saw these three like angelic lights were just flashing through the room. And I just, it was like the Lord said, "No matter what you feel, I'm here. No matter how hard it seems, we're like pushing you forward. No matter how alone it seems sometimes, we're here for you. We're here for you. And actually, we're surrounding you right now. And we're here right in the midst of all this stuff." Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome to know that no matter what it is you're going through, there are myriads of those that have gone before. My mom is hanging over there going, "Come on, you're not alone. Come on." You know, people that have gone before that are worshiping Jesus right now, that are living in eternity with no sickness and no shame and no sadness. Oh my gosh, they're like pressing us forward to the end of the goal. And so the Lord began to speak to me about realigning with truth, not with how we feel, but with truth. And today I want to speak to you a bit about that. So this passage, Isaiah was a prophet, for those that don't know. He was an amazing prophet. Some say he was a prophet of doom, but I just say he was a prophet of the Lord. And God took him into a heavenly encounter when the nation was in an absolute mess, when the nation was in rebellion against God. Does that sound like our day today, our world today, where our world is in rebellion against God? And we live in a godless society, you know. And but then the Lord took him into this vision, took him in. He had a heavenly encounter. Come on, a heavenly encounter. And he saw the throne of God. God took him right into that place of his dwelling, right into that place where he was seated. And he began to speak to him, and he showed him the glory of God, and he showed him the seraphim that were like over the throne, worshiping and declaring what was to come. So they were like declaring the holiness of God. But also, if you notice in verse 3, they were declaring the whole earth is what? Full of trouble? The whole earth is full of confusion? The whole earth is full of COVID? No, the whole earth is full of what? His glory. His glory. So no matter what it looked like, the angels, the seraphim, those that declare the holiness of God were also declaring that the whole earth is full of God's glory. Full of God's glory. And today I believe, church, that we need to choose what we partner with. Are we going to partner with the media and the negativity and the hopelessness that is being portrayed on our media systems, on our social media? Or are we going to partner with the angelic declarative statements of heaven, which declare that the whole earth is full of the glory of God? And the Bible says that we are to call that which is not as though it was. And we are the ones that are called the messengers of hope, that are called to declare the glory of God to cover the whole earth. We are to call it as though it is already, so that it opens the doorway for the Spirit of God to come and bring in and usher the kingdom of God amongst us. Yeah. So in these days of uncertainty, what is the plumb line that you stand on? What is it that you gauge yourself by when times get hard? What is it that will keep you steadfast? What is it? What are the truths that you hold to? What is your focus? I'm just going to read something to you here. The atmosphere that you position yourself in is the atmosphere that will fill you and influence you. The atmosphere that you position yourself in is the atmosphere that will fill you and influence you. Where you position yourself is the atmosphere. Where you position yourself is relative to the presence that will surround you. Like yesterday, where I positioned myself gave a doorway to the presence that came to surround me. The presence that surrounds you affects the peace and the power that fills you. The presence that surrounds you affects the peace and the power that fills you. The level of peace that fills you is the level you will walk in. And the level of peace and power that you walk in is the level that you can give to others. So I'm going to come back to that at the end. So number one, God enabled Isaiah to see. He opened his eyes to see. And what did he see? When he began to see, he saw the throne room encounter, and he heard the declarations that were made by the seraphim. One, holy is the Lord. Two, the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Not just parts of it, not just our prayer rooms. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. When heaven spoke, the earth shook. It actually said that the earth shook at the sound of their voice. Verse 4, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So when the angels made the declarations, the whole of the temple in heaven began to shake. Everything shook. When heaven spoke, Isaiah shook. The revelation of iniquity and sinfulness came into his life. When you look at verse 5, he says, woe is me, woe is me. I am ruined. I am undone. I don't know what to do. because I am a man of unclean lips. When the presence of God begins to come amongst us, God begins to uncover the things that need to be taken away. So our sin is forgiven, the price has been paid, but God is in the daily business of making us holy as he is holy. It says, be holy as I am holy. So Isaiah here in the presence of God, in this amazing heavenly encounter, became aware of his sin and he got scared. He says, woe is me, I am ruined. Woe is me, I am ruined. And then he says, for his nation, I live among a people of unclean lips. So he was aware not only of his own falling and his own feelings, but of the feeling of his nation. And he says, but my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. So when his iniquity was dealt with, what happened? How was his iniquity dealt with? The angel of the Lord took a live, living coal from the altar, the fire of God, the fire of God. He took from the altar part of the fire and he came and he touched his lips. He touched that which was impure, that which defiled him was touched by the fire of God. And woe is me turned into immediately one who was worthy to be destroyed into one who was worthy of being a prophet of God. When we surrender to the Lord, when we give over to the Lord, when God uncovers the things in our lives in his presence, which he will do, he wants to come with the coal, he wants to come with the fire, and he wants to bring that live, active, fiery coal to deal with what he is revealing to us that makes us feel unworthy, that makes us feel ashamed. So he wants to then bring that and remove all those things from us so that we instantly become transformed from being one that is worthy of destruction to one that is worthy of being a prophet of the Lord. It's really powerful. And then what did he see? He saw the throne room of God. He saw the angelic declaring his might and his power. He saw the living fire on the altar. And he was that was unable to be touched even by angelic hands. They had to lift it with a coal. And yet it was able to be that Isaiah was able to have it touch his mouth, touch his life. So that was Isaiah. He was able to see. He saw an amazing encounter. I want more encounters with Jesus. Do you? I want like those deep, deep, deep heavenly encounters with the Lord. Number one, Isaiah was able to see. Number two, God enabled him to hear. He didn't just get to see, he got to hear. When God takes you into the place of his presence, he doesn't want you just to see him. He wants to speak to you. He has things that he wants to talk to you about, that he wants to share with you. So Isaiah heard a conversation. And he heard the conversation between the family of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they were talking together and they had this mission. They had this concern for Israel and Judah. They were saying that who's going to go and tell them? Who can we send? Who's going to be willing to go and carry the message of the messenger? Who can we pick? Who can we send, guys? Who amongst us can we send? And then there was Isaiah right in the middle of it all, listening to this whole conversation. And he's like, I'll go, guys. I'll go. Like, could you imagine being in that place where you're in the throne room and you're hearing like this conversation of, I got this mission in like Germany and it's in this place and I need someone to go for me. If you were there, you'd be like, oh, I'll go, because you're in the place of his presence. It's like you'd be like there instantly, wouldn't you? So Isaiah was like, here am I, I'll go, send me. God had enough of sin in his nation and he needed someone to bring a message of redemption, of warning and redemption. God could have done it himself. He could have shown up like he did for Moses in the burning bush. He could have done like the thunder clouds on the lightning on the mountain. He could have parted something like the Red Sea. He could have done anything to display his glory himself, but he chose Isaiah. He chose a man. And even in these days, God could do so much himself, but he's chosen us. He's chosen you. He's chosen me. With all our feelings of inadequacy, with all our feelings of the past, he is saying, I've touched you with the fire. You are a prophet of God. You are a messenger of my heart. And I need you. I need you to fulfill a mission. I need you to fulfill a mission. He wanted a personal representation, someone made in his image and likeness to carry the word. And Isaiah jumped right in. So Isaiah, number one, he took time to be there. He took time to see and he took time to hear. And then from that place, he decided that he would take on the assignment and that he would go. Isaiah realigned his heart with God. He realigned his heart with God through that encounter that he had with him. He was willing to be changed by the fire and willing to take on God's assignment. He was willing to be pruned. He was willing to be cleansed. And he was willing to carry the fire of God in this message. So what is the plumb line that we today need to align with? One, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship, if you're listening to this today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, if you have not surrendered to him as God, then do that right now. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I believe that you died for me on the cross, that you took all my sin, all my shame, all my failings. I surrender to you today. Come and fill me. Come and fill me. Come and touch me with the fire from your altar, and I will go for you today. I will go for you today. If you have just said that prayer, then we just bless you and fill you right now with the Holy Spirit, that you would be filled to overflowing, that you would know the power and the presence of God filling your life right now. The plumb line of God in your life, number one, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, relationship with the Holy Spirit. He says that he will send another, the Spirit of truth, that will lead you into all truth, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and God lives in you by the Spirit of God. That is the fire of the Lord in your life. And number three, the Word of God, the written word and the prophetic word together. That is our plumb line in these days. Number four, accountability with those that have authority over you. We must always hold accountability with one another, with those that hold authority over our lives. It keeps us safe. It keeps us safe. So in the midst of COVID, in the midst of death, when you listen to the media, what is it that you align with? Do you align with fear or do you align with the plumb line of faith? Do you align with the negativity or do you align with the truth? Number one, fear. I'm just going to read out a definition of fear. It is emotional, chemical-based or learned behavior, also a natural, powerful human emotion, God-given to invite wisdom. Biochemical responses. Fear is a biochemical response. It alerts us to danger and threat of harm. It originates in the emotional part of a person, the heart and the mind. It can come from real threats, fear of the unknown or imagined dangers, e.g. like from childhood, we were always told if we got out of bed that the boogeyman under the bed would get us, you know, and we were terrified of, literally terrified. Even if we needed the bathroom, we did not get out of bed because we were scared of the man that stayed under our bed that would get us if we stepped out. That was a real fear. It was a non-existent thing, but it was instilled to us as kids to keep us under control. Cruel, yeah. Spiders, closed spaces, heights, all those things are like irrational fears, but they're very real to us and those that struggle with them. physical relation to fear is like sweating. You can get hot sweats or cold sweats. You can have a raised heartbeat, chest pains, chills, dry mouth, nausea, shortness of breath, trembling, upset stomach, emotional or psychological responses of feeling overwhelmed, upset, feeling out of control, a sense of impending doom. And actually, it can kill you. If you don't deal with fear in your life, it can actually make you so sick that it can take your life. Fear says, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I'll make it through. I'm going to fail. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to die. The enemy's voice through fear is to control you, to disempower you, and to disable you. That is the whole purpose. Fear is a spirit. The Bible says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear comes against your mind to affect your heart, that affects your flesh. And we want to come into alignment with God, with against that spirit of fear. And we want to align with the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. We have a choice where we plumb line. We have a choice where we stand. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Our faith is in our relationship with Jesus Christ, with Yeshua. It's with the word of God, with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, confirmed by the written word, and with the prophetic word, confirmed by the written word. That is the basis of our faith. So fear will say, lockdown means I'm going to have lack. How am I going to manage? I may lose my job. But faith says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. My God will supply all my needs. So whenever I've got like a bill coming up or the rent to pay, then where do I align my heart? Where do I align my heart or my mortgage? Where do I align my heart? Do I align it with fear that says, oh my gosh, you're in trouble, everything's going to fall apart? Or do I align with the spirit of truth, with the Holy Spirit that says, hey, I'm here for you, I'm surrounding you, I'm pushing you forward, and I am going to supply all your needs according to his riches, not the riches of the earth, but his riches. Fear may say to you, the level of mental illness in this pandemic is growing exponentially. All we hear around us right now is about mental illness, suicide, how it's like growing exponentially. But, you know, we can choose to partner with that and think if we continue in lockdown, this is what's going to happen to us. But faith says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard what your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When we set our plumb line to the word of God and we stand by that word, then the fear has no power over our mind or over our heart. So the peace of God will transcend, will come through everything that the world would stand and put against you. Fear would say, I can't see a way out of this mess. I know there are lots of people at the moment that are facing job losses and possibly home losses and awful, awful situations right now. And fear says, I can't see a way out of this mess. I can't see a way out of this mess. But the Bible says in Ephesians 3, now, this moment, unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. Not only all we ask, but all that we can imagine to be possible according to his power that works within us. So there's a condition. It's according to the power that works within us. What is that power that works within us? It's the fire from the altar. It's that being in that place of surrender. It's being in that place where we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that will override all the fear that we're facing in these days. So fear says, I can't see a way out, but faith will say, unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or that we can even imagine possible, according to his power that is at work within us. Because let's face it, guys, there's nothing we can do to change the situation, is there? There's nothing we can do, but according to his power, we can reset our plumb line to the line of faith that says, God, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I realign my heart with you, and I'm trusting that for my life, that you're going to do more than I can ever ask for or possibly imagine. And you know, it may not look like what we think it should look like, but the Bible tells me that all things, and COVID is a thing, it's a dirty thing, and the Bible says all things work together for our good to those who love him and obey his commands. To those who love him and obey his commands. Fear says, we can't control COVID. Nobody's got the answer. Oh my days, COVID. Faith says, you, God, have placed everything under his authority. This means that God has left nothing outside of the control of his son, even if presently we have yet to see this accomplished. That is Hebrews 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, you have placed everything under his authority. This means that God has left nothing outside of the control of his son, even if we presently do not see it happening. So I can do all things. Philippians 4, I can do all things, all of this, all that we're facing right now, all the different scenarios that we're facing. We can do it all through him who gives us strength. Philippians 4, I can do all things through him who gives us strength. So what is your plumb line? It's a big question, you know. What is your plumb line? What is it that you align your life with? When the rubber hits the road, what is your plumb line? What is your baseline? What is your baseline? What is the gauge by which you live your life? We have choices to make. We can either partner with the enemy, which is the spirit of fear, with doubt, with anxiety, or we can partner with the way maker. He says, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. We partner with the miracle worker. Call those things that are not as though they are. We can partner with the promise keeper or the lie that God is not big enough. We can partner with the light in the darkness, or trying to fumble along in our own strength. The Bible says he is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He shows me where I am and he shows me where I'm going. Shows me where I am and he shows me where I'm going. So we can partner with the way maker, the promise keeper, the miracle worker, and the light in the darkness. If it's not the word, there will be no fire. If it's not the word, there'll be no hope. If it's not the word, you've got no assurance of the future. Honestly, the way the world is speaking and the media and social media, it's like this hopeless, hopeless situation. But we are the messengers. Like Isaiah, we have been touched by the fire. We have been touched by the very fire, the very coals from the altar of God. And we can promise and we can work with the way maker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness, the promise keeper. He doesn't promise us that things will not change or they're not going to be difficult, you know. Sometimes the cross of Christ is really hard to bear. And he says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for my sake, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are you. Like, it's such an upside down gospel, you know. So I'm going to be persecuted for being a Christian. Woo! And I'm blessed in that place. Ooh, there's something to wrap our tonsils around, you know. It's like, I'm blessed when I'm persecuted. Mm-mm-mm. So we need to align with his ways, and we need to know him so that when things happen, we're not going to be offended. We're not going to be offended. It's like when we were making decisions concerning our family life, we would talk to the children before it happened so they knew ahead of time what was going to happen. And it's the same with the Lord. With Isaiah, God took him into that. He's like, what's happening, God? What's happening? And the Lord took him into his presence, and he spoke to him, he cleansed him, he prepared him, and he sent him with a message of hope for the nation. And that message was like, you know, this is going to be a real tough journey, and I got to get some stuff out of you, but the end result is going to be a rise, glorious one. The sovereign Lord is upon you. I've anointed you. It's going to be glorious. When we heard the call to go, it cost us everything. It cost us everything. There's always a cost to carrying your cross. The Bible says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. We lost our home. We didn't lose our home. The Lord asked us to lay down our home. We gave up our home. We moved away from family. We lost our income. We lost our security. And to everybody else, it seemed like, what on earth are you doing? You know, we had a beautiful home, 5-bedroom home in Ireland with 2 acres of land, a beautiful big koi pond filled with koi, a little deck out over it where we used to sit and drink a cup of tea and just look out over the mountains. And it was so beautiful. Do I miss it? Yeah, I do. Do I miss it? Yeah, I do. I miss having my own home. But there's a cost to carrying your cross. There's a cost to carrying your cross. And if we want to see the things happen, I'm not saying that God's going to ask you to give up your house or anything like that. It's a personal thing. Everybody carries their own cross with the Lord. Everybody has their own call. You know, the here am I, send me. Everyone has that. But what I'm asking this morning is, what is your plumb line? What is God asking of you this morning so that you can align with his truth, so that you can come into the place in this season of such uncertainty? What is it that you need to realign with today that brings you back into that place of peace, back into that place of strength, back into that place of joy, and back into that place of hearing and deciphering and understanding the voice of God in this season? We gave up a lot, but we gained so much. You know, we gained an amazing vision of what the Lord wanted for our lives. We gained a fresh love for God that he will never take something away without filling. Like this, like what I said about yesterday, he's got to unplug something so he can give you something else. If your hands are full, he can't fill them with anything else. You know, if that glass is full, it can't be filled with anything else. It has to be emptied to be refilled. So for us, he refilled us with vision. He refilled us with passion. He refilled us with provision. He provides for us every day. You know, we've never gone a day of lack. We have food. Our bills get paid, sometimes lastminute.com, but they get paid. God is no man's debtor. He is there. He is faithful. 1 Thessalonians says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Dave Mander this morning, the Lord is faithful to you and he will accomplish all that he's set to do in your heart right now, in Jesus' name. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly go astray. So when you don't have that plumb line, when there's not that marker that you can see that you align yourself with, then you can wander off all sorts of different ways. And you can be assured that if you're not aligned with the plumb line of God, with the word of God and the prophetic word of God and his presence, that the enemy is going to give you other plumb lines to align with that will not, that will take you away from the truth and peace and joy and the calling of your life that God has established within you. And that says, where there's no prophetic vision, people quickly move astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. Woo! Come on. Heaven's bliss fills your soul. It's not dependent on your circumstances. It's not dependent on the situation. It's not dependent on who's in government. Heaven's bliss fills your soul, not the news, not what goes on around you, but heaven's bliss fills your soul when you have God's vision for your heart. So it's time. It's time to realign with truth. It's time to reset that plumb line in your life. And I think, you know, over the next days, it would be good to say to the Lord, I want to come back into that place of the plumb line. I want to realign with you. I want to hear you in a new way. I want to see you in a new way. I want a fresh touch. This is for me. Like I'm saying, I want that fire from the altar to come in my life. I want that fresh fire to come in my life. You know, the last year has been a hard year caring for my mom and watching her painfully go downhill and all the struggles and all the battles. And it takes something from your heart and your soul. I need the fire of God in my heart again, just refired, reburning, repassioned. We need truth, and truth is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in us, with us, and for us, in Jesus' name. Steps to alignment. One, be willing to acknowledge your failing, your sin, your iniquity, your fears, and your anxieties. Be willing to give these to the Lord. He knows them anyway. There's no point in trying to be perfect before him. He knows all your fears and your anxieties and your feelings and your shame. Be willing to acknowledge those in his presence. Be willing to surrender them. Be willing for the fire to touch you. Be willing for that fire to come, pruning away, cleansing away, and then reestablishing, re-empowering you for this season of life. Take time to listen to God's heart for you. Be ready to hear. Be ready to hear. Be expectant. You know, some people, all they go for is a Sunday morning. And I'm like, I couldn't live on that. I couldn't live on one meal a day. I need the presence of God every day in my life. I need a feasting in the midst of. Psalm 23 says he prepares a table in the midst of our enemies. In the midst of every circumstance, we have a feasting table that we can go to at any time and just feast on and get refilled up. Be ready to obey. It says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, John 14. So as a sign of our love for God is walking in obedience to his commands. So what is it he's asking you to do today? What is it he's asking of you? How does he need you to realign your life and your heart, your soul, your mind, your time, your finance with him today? Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the government, not media. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. I shall not want. That's a declaration. You should just say that over yourselves right now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's like, you know, he's trying to get us to rest in this season. Why? Because he wants to restore our soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, no evil. Mm-mm. For you are with me. You're with me. And I just feel it in this season that as believers, as the church, as the ecclesia of God, whether we gather online or whether we're out walking on our one-to-ones, we are the ecclesia of God. We carry the very atmosphere of heaven. We carry the presence and the power of heaven in our workplaces, in our schools, in the supermarkets, wherever the Lord has us, wherever your sphere of influence is, let it be the release of the kingdom of heaven within you. So I just feel today like I just want to declare, like, the enemy has been trespassing for far too long in our lives. The devil has been trespassing for far too long. And I'd like us to do a corporate declaration today, if that's okay with you. I'd like you to repeat after me today. Let's just quieten our hearts. Let's just make a declaration before the Lord today together. Today, Lord, I shut the doorways that drain my joy. Today, Lord, I shut the doorways that drain my hope. I shut the doorways on fear that come against my mind and my heart. And Holy Spirit, I open the doorway to you and to joy.
I open the doorway to you and to joy.
I open the doorway to my life for fresh hope.
I open the doorway to my life for fresh hope.
I open the doorway of faith.
I open the doorway of faith
that fills my mind with clarity.
That fills my mind with clarity.
And my heart with peace.
And my heart with peace.
Holy Spirit of God.
Holy Spirit of God.
I choose today.
I choose today.
To re-establish you as my plumb line.
To re-establish you as my plumb line.
Your presence.
Your presence.
Your peace and your word.
Your peace and your word.
So I declare over each of you today, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I declare that you, Jesus, are able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to your power that is in work within us. I declare, God, that you have placed everything under the authority of your Son, and this means that you have left nothing outside of the control of your Son, even if we presently have not yet seen it accomplished. I declare today, God, that we can do all things through him, through Yeshua, who gives us strength. I declare that I will not compromise your calling or your presence in my life. And in the name of Yeshua, I declare shalom over my life, over your lives, over your body, over your soul, over your family, and over our nations. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The atmosphere that you position yourself in is the atmosphere that will fill you and influence you. Where you position yourself is relative to the presence that surrounds you. The presence that surrounds you affects the peace and the power that fills you. The level of peace that fills you is the level you will walk in. The level of peace or power you walk in is the level that you will give to others. So, Lord, I just declare today a fresh fire from your altar. Lord, as these ones that you love choose to realign with your truth, choose to break partnership with the lies of the enemy that have held them bound. But choose today, God, to partner with your truth that sets them free, knowing that you've placed all things under Jesus Christ, knowing that we can do all things through you, knowing that the shalom of heaven is our portion. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.